Looking for a new home should be exciting, not frustrating. That's why Homes.com might just be the best home shopping site out there. Imagine searching for your dream home without ads cluttering your view. Homes.com's sleek, beautifully designed, ad-free interface makes your search simple and distraction-free. And if you're a parent, you know how important school information is. Homes.com gets it. They're the only site with detailed school and district info from multiple sources, including reviews from Niche. Plus, they've got a super comprehensive and transparent agent directory, making it easy to find the right expert to guide your journey. Oh, and here's a game changer. Homes.com always connects you directly with a listing agent who knows the home best. They even go beyond the basics, offering the most in-depth neighborhood content of any home shopping site, packed with details to help you find a community that feels like home. And the search tools? Unmatched. With 22 data visualization layers, 7 environmental layers, and filters for commute times and architectural styles, Homes.com truly is the home search you've been searching for. Go to Homes.com. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Stoney in today, he brought it up. He said, hey, Lions fans, are you over it yet? Will you ever be over it? Another weekend without the Lions. Granted, nobody plays this weekend.
Right.
But it's one of the questions we have. Red Wings with a big win. If you missed any of the conversation, use the Odyssey app. Go back, rewind. We talked about Cade being an all-star as well as the Wings and their big win last night.
By the way, Luke brought this up. He led his update with it. I think it's great that they're trying to get a WNBA team here. Mm-hmm. Not to go old, complete WNBA, but the Shock, when they won their first championship at the Palace, was one of the great events I was ever at. The place was sold out. Whether they gave away tickets or not, I don't care. It was so freaking loud. It was incredible. They were really good, and now the WNBA is obviously growing, and Detroit should have a team. So I think it's great. Anyway.
If you want the Cade All-Star stuff or any of the Wings reaction, Odyssey app, Odyssey Rewind. And if you download the Odyssey app and listen to 97.1 The Ticket, you have a chance to win the ultimate trip to Vegas. 918 will play the Alex Bregman audio. MLB Insider with the latest on what's going on with Bregman as it pertains to the Tigers. Actually, we could play that sooner if we knock out these phone calls in time. I know you guys want to talk about the Lions still. For as many of our listeners who go, just get over it. People aren't.
No.
They're not over it. It's a lot to unpack. Jason in East Point, you're on 97.1.
Hey, good morning, fellas.
Morning.
Okay, so for me, it's going to be hard watching the Super Bowl, but I kind of like you said, Stoney, I kind of adjusted my expectations, especially after the Buffalo game. Once all the injuries happened, I didn't think we had enough to get there.
Right.
Now, as far as the game that we lost, I put the blame 98% on Jared Goff. Those turnovers were excruciating. I mean, to play well mostly all season and then get to that point and just like vomit up everything, that was hard to watch.
Man, it was three bad plays by him, the fumble.
Well, it was really more, to be honest with you, we only beat Minnesota because Darnold played worse than Goff, because Goff had bad turnovers in that game. And that was startling to me. And I felt like the only way the Lions could really lose to the Commanders were if Goff was to play like he played against Houston or Minnesota. And that's exactly what he did. Now yeah. I'm kind of feeling like, I kind of feel why Sean McVay got rid of Goff, because he feel like in the biggest spot.
Well,
people seem
to forget, and I don't have the exact play-by-play and game stats in front of me, but yes, he did not play well in that Super Bowl loss, but neither did any of the Rams offensively.
It was a low-scoring
game against a really good Patriot defense. But the NFC Championship game, he led them on a couple of drives that were very impressive, especially in the second half.
Maybe benefited from
the worst call of all time, but still.
No, Goff had played three really good playoff games in a Lions uniform just a year ago.
Yes.
So I really hesitate to overreact. It was awful that day, Saturday night. But I don't feel like we should suddenly forget what happened the year before. Perspective's a good thing. And speaking of perspective, I don't dispute Jason, and I don't dispute you, the idea that expectations changed after the Buffalo game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you from where I'm sitting, after the Buffalo game, anybody who expressed concern was shouted down from the mob of Lions fans who said, shut up, we're going to find a way. The prevailing notion in the city after the Buffalo loss was, don't you dare speak ill of this football team. We're built for this. We're absolutely still a Super Bowl team. Only then after they lose, do we hear from a lot of people who say, well, see, I knew they never were going to do it anyway. It just feels very convenient is what I will say.
Well, let's look. I mean, after the Buffalo game was the San Francisco game, and you know, Kirk, one of Joseph's interceptions was a really good play. The other one was a Purdy threw the ball right to him. So the defense wasn't exactly great in that game. And in the aforementioned Minnesota game, the defense did enough, obviously.
I mean, they
played pretty well.
In the red zone specifically.
Yeah, and a lot of that was Darnold, though. He decided not to throw the ball to Addison, who was wide open in the right part of the end zone. I mean...
Yeah. I just mean there were fans who believed and believed and believed. And then when the season ended, they said, I never believed. And I just don't think
that feels
like a coping mechanism.
No.
It's okay to say you got humbled, that you were wrong. It's okay.
Yeah.
It hurts a little more, but that's part of life.
You know, you take it down with your cappuccino and in the morning and you get over it.
Let's get to, is this LL in Detroit? You're on 97.1.
Yeah, hi guys. How you doing this morning?
Good.
That's good. Yeah, it does hurt. I think for any fan, you want to get beat. You don't want to feel like you beat yourself. And this year and last year, I felt we beat ourselves. And to be honest, I hate to say it, and people might want to stone me, but I feel like it's more Dan Campbell and the coaching staff far than Goff.
Well, there was
they should have ran the ball more.
Sure.
They had the worst defense. They had the 30th defense in the league.
Well,
there's no way we should have ran the ball more.
But
we were killing them. Gibbs was killing them.
Look at the play-by-play and figure out about six more plays where you think they should have run the ball. There's really not that many.
Well,
Because
I hate it. They started Demo. I thought they should have let him come off the bench and backed up Gibbs. They should have started Gibbs. They should have got off to a good start. That would have put pressure on Daniels. I just thought the whole – when they did that, I was scared. When I saw Demo starting, I was scared.
I'm in the minority. I didn't think that made a difference because the play, the one that screwed him was the second down, and I don't think Gibbs breaks through that awful blocking that they got an 8-yard loss on.
But you said it too, Stoney. They should have had a running back in the backfield on that third and one.
Yes, that's coaching. Yes.
12 men on the field.
Yes.
If everybody at the ref seen it, why didn't your coaching staff call it?
Right. That I agree with you. I just think there's too much focus being put on the first possession.
But only in the sense of a tone. The tone that you want to set. Gibbs had taken over the backfield, and it appeared the coaching staff didn't see that. Gibbs got better when Montgomery was out. His yards per carry went up. He got into a rhythm. And Stoney, there's no disputing it. Gibbs in limited touches was dynamic against the Commanders and would have been more dynamic with more touches, right?
Maybe, but there wasn't that much opportunity except for the first series, which I'm convinced he wouldn't have been able to do much anyway.
I just think back to it's 7-3 Detroit. They've got the ball. And even before the third and one empty set, Gibbs runs for 33 yards on that drive.
Right.
My answer is, run him until his legs fall off.
I don't disagree with you, and that's why...
And they didn't.
Third and one.
Which is why I understand the phone call.
Yeah, I get it. But when you look at after that, when you look at the plays like we did,
it starts to unravel.
Yeah, and there's no opportunity really for him to run. I mean, he had the one where he had the two big plays in a row, and then they ended up, you know, scoring after that. You had the J-Mo reverse...
Goff's not even in the game at that point. Yeah,
right. But as far as Gibbs, I mean, the play, the interception at the end of the half, you're not going to run the ball, I don't think, with 29 seconds left unless you want to settle for a field goal, which you know you don't want to do. He had a horrible pass. I'm not dismissing The coaching, I think we're making way too much of a deal of the first series because the Lions did nothing in the first series. Washington did nothing in their first series. The Lions took the lead, 7-0, 7-3, and they're on their way to 14-3, and then they go freaking empty out of a shotgun. Third and one. That's the game.
Games aren't decided by necessarily one play, but three that stood out to me. One was the third and one from empty forever. The pick six, your defense isn't good. You can't also give up points when you're on offense. No. And then to me, some will point to the JMO pick as the third play. To me, it's the 12 men on the field when you just eat it. You just accept that you're going to take a penalty on fourth and two. And that's why Dan Campbell should get some heat.
Yes.
And just because he owns it doesn't mean we have to let him off the hook.
No. And his new defensive coordinator was frantically telling him that.
Dan.
So it's good to know that Kelvin Shepard's aware.
Good. Well, we just can't keep doing this.
No.
We can't keep doing this where they fall short and two of the three losses this season, the coach goes, it's my fault. Like, stop letting it be your fault.
I know.
We love you. You're a great coach. Stop letting it be your fault.
We're relitigating the game.
I know.
You go to the fourth and two, what Terry and Arnold thinking.
I know, not containing.
Yeah. Now, who knows? Daniels could have broke through his tackle anyway, but.
One last call on this, and then we'll stop picking the wound.
Yes. My fault. You can blame me because I hadn't been on the air since.
It's okay, Stoney. People have a lot to say.
I know.
Tony, you're next up.
Yeah, I'm a big Jared Goff fan, but the stars need to be aligned for this guy to win the big game. We've arguably had the best coordinators in the league, and every team wanted him after the season. We're stacked at every position on offense, and I just think that a guy like Mahomes gets it done on consistency. Jared Goff needs every single thing to be right to win. And I know outside of Stafford, and arguably he's better than Goff, you give Stafford the same tools, then I think we win that game. He's sharper. He's got a better arm. I just think Goff comes up short in these big games. There's too many excuses for Jared Goff. That's the bottom line.
What did you say, Lyle? What did you say?
I'm not bashing the dude. I'm just trying to be
objective. You kind of are bashing the dude. And you know what? He deserves to be bashed for the game against Washington.
For
Saturday,
right. Yeah.
But, Tony, where was his phone call after last year's playoffs when he had three excellent playoff games?
It doesn't matter how many you have if you don't win the big one. Why is it that Patrick Mahomes can be behind at the 2-minute mark?
Because he's great. He's one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. Nobody's suggesting
exactly
that we have.
And we don't have the greatest quarterback.
Neither does most teams.
Oh, my God. I'm just saying, I'm a fan of him.
I can tell.
He's the best we've seen.
The Jared Goff fan club.
With friends like you, who needs enemies?
Jeez.
That dude's got a lot of tools to work with. That's a two-headed monster in the backfield.
Yes.
You got positions stacked all over that field.
Yeah, they have
Come
a bunch
on,
of all-pros and pro bowlers.
I understand that.
We all know this.
But to throw the Mahomes name out there is like ludicrous. There's nobody like Mahomes.
That's why he's Mahomes. All right, coming up next, Alex Bregman, the latest from an MLB insider. Specifically, what's going on with the Tigers? What's the hang-up? We'll play it next, 97.1.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient. Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's three-time Super Bowl champion Mark Schlereth of the Sing of Truth podcast. The playoffs are here, and that means the race to the big game is on. Join my co-host Mike Evans and I as we follow along this NFL postseason, breaking down the matchups each week and see who will shine when the lights are brightest. You know I speak nothing but the stinking truth. Follow and listen to Stinking Truth on free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You saw this first. I've had it sent to me. I have not heard the audio.
I haven't heard it yet either. I just read it.
Jim Bowden?
Yeah.
Baseball Insider, where's he at these days?
The Athletic, and he does MLB Radio, former, you know, general manager of the Reds and the Nationals, I think, at one point, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, former executive of the year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So here's what he is hearing about Alex Bregman and the Tigers. He might not want to be here. Best offer on the table, but might not want to be here.
Now, some people might say, well, make that best offer even better.
Essentially bid against yourself.
Yeah, which...
There's a danger in doing that.
Yes, indeed. So if indeed that is true, that the Tigers do have the best offer and he doesn't want to be here, well, you know what? I'm not going to hate on the Tigers for that. I would hate on the Tigers if they were cheap.
So the best offer that we had heard was from Houston.
Right.
Was that 6 years, 156?
Something like that.
Yeah.
He turned it down.
Turned it down. Are the Tigers offering more than that?
I don't know.
I don't know. Nobody's been able to put numbers on it.
Correct.
Are they offering that sixth year? We know they don't want to go over $200 million, which is fine. No one appears to be willing to pay Alex Bregman $200 million. Boy, it would be a tough pill to swallow. That he just doesn't want to be here.
Right.
Because the Tigers and Scott Harris and AJ Hinch pride themselves on, we're a great destination. We get guys in here and we get the most out of them. We've seen it with the pitching.
Correct.
And they'd like to believe they will do the same with these young hitters as well. And they've seen some success. It would be quite a blow to the ego for those guys, specifically Hinch, who has managed him before to be like, yeah, AJ, I'm not going to go to Detroit. I'm not going to play for the Tigers. You guys aren't. Whatever enough, good enough, compelling enough.
Seem to be
enough money, though.
Correct me if I'm wrong. They beat your ass.
Beat his ass at Astros.
Yes.
I don't know. I don't know what to believe.
It sucks in one way because you feel like, oh, he doesn't like us. But in the other aspect, it says, all right, at least the Tigers have stepped up. They've made the best offer, according to him.
I want to know numbers.
I know.
Because are we all off lowballing him? Is that what's happening right now? All the teams are unwilling to offer what it would take to sign him? Is that what it comes down to?
Well, you know what? Maybe he's just not...
Maybe he's wrong.
Yeah, maybe he's overvalued himself. That's possible, too.
The question is, how big a priority is he, then?
Yeah.
For the Tigers. Because if they're going to sit there and nickel and dime him like everybody else in the market.
I don't know if it's nickel and diming, though.
I mean, I know.
I mean,
I don't know what to believe.
Right. I mean, at least, you know, as we always say, make the call, do whatever. Yeah. At least.
They have. They're in.
They're in.
Whatever he signs for, we're going to look at that and say, did the Tigers offer more? And this report would indicate that, yes, they've offered the best deal on the market.
Right. It would be great. It would be really good. He's a very good player. Is he a great player anymore? Maybe. But he's very good. And that's what they need.
Yeah. I think too. Last year people go, oh, he's starting to trend the wrong way. Last year he would have been the third best player on the Tigers behind only Riley Green and Tarek Skubal in a down year. Last year his walk rate was abnormally low. For his career, it's much higher. He also won the Gold Glove.
Yeah.
30-year-old, slightly past his prime, Alex Bregman is a major upgrade for the Detroit Tigers.
The problem is you want to be able to get better and whilst you still have Skubal.
Right.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
Because there's no guarantee that the Tigers are going to be able to re-sign Skubal.
Yeah. Whether
you consider that a low ball or not.
So two comps for the Skubal situation would be Garrett Cole, who was on a very good Astros team and left for simply more money with the Yankees.
Correct.
Right. Corbin Burns was on a very good Orioles team, left for more money. Scooble could be on a very good Tigers team. Yes. And if you don't offer the most money, he'll play for somebody else.
Well, Burns evidently could have gotten more money to go somewhere else besides Arizona, but he's from there. He lives there. He likes.
My point is, you could be on a good team, and the Tigers are a good team, and it doesn't mean you're going to get a discount or you're going to get anything. They could still leave. Scooble may only have two more seasons in the old English D.
Right.
What are you doing to win with him? 1 year deals.
Yeah.
I'm hoping what you said earlier is right. If they do miss out on Bregman, and it's not their fault.
Correct.
They have an aggressive pivot in the trade market because this can't be the whole offseason.
No.
Let's get to Heather with the news.
Okay, so we have a little bit more details, I guess, when it comes to the investigation into Wednesday's deadly crash. Here's some of the things we know. The military helicopter may have been flying too high and outside of its approved flight path. There's questions also about how many crew members were on that helicopter. Some sources say that there should have been more than three crew members on board at the time. The control tower staffing was not normal for that time of day and the amount of traffic at the airport. Apparently, an air traffic control supervisor had let a controller leave their shift early, which then meant there was one person, one controller, kind of pulling double duty, directing both airplanes and helicopters in the area. Also, just a day before the crash, another flight heading into Reagan Airport was forced to cancel its landing after a helicopter flew near its path. And of course, the National Transportation Safety says, whoa, it is too early to speculate at all about what caused the crash. They are currently conducting a thorough investigation. The black boxes were found, so those are being investigated as well. And just said, hey, let's get all of the information before we start to speculate. But here's kind of some of the stuff that's being found. So I get it. We got to wait. We got to get all the information. Michigan State Police and some other local law enforcement agencies made a pair of massive drug busts this week. The first was in Warren, the second in Detroit. On Tuesday in Warren, officials seized a massive amount of pills, cocaine, mushrooms, as well as assault rifle, a handgun, a vehicle, and more than $19,000 in cash. And then just a couple days later, there was a raid in Detroit that led to about $250,000 worth of drugs being seized. Also, tons of guns, six guns, $70,000 in cash found there. Yikes. UFC fighter. Let's see. Brian Ortega. Is that his name? Oh, no.
Bryce Mitchell?
No. I'll get to Bryce Mitchell next. Yes. Oh. There's another UFC fighter.
I'm such a UFC guy. I know.
Brian Ortega. That's his name. He flew from California to North Carolina to choke out a trash-talking Fortnite player. Okay, so this guy, this UFC fighter, apparently likes to play Fortnite, and he plays online with other people. Well, one of the players he was playing with started trash-talking too much, and he made a bet, said, okay, you know what? I'll make a trip from one side of the U.S. to the other, and I'll put you in a chokehold. And apparently, he followed through with it and did just that. Well, they both followed through with their bet, I guess.
Bizarre.
Whatever. It happened. Now, let's talk about this other UFC fighter, Bryce Mitchell. All right. So he's not facing any disciplinary actions, despite the fact that he went and made anti-Semitic and homophobic comments on his new podcast. So the things he said were just downright disgusting. He praised Hitler. He denied the Holocaust, amongst other things he said. Dana White has since condemned Mitchell's comments, called his comments beyond disgusting.
I can appreciate Dana White coming out and saying what he said, but the actions of not punishing him at all, not suspending him or fining him, isn't he providing him a platform by making him an eligible UFC fighter?
But Dana White's part of the whole, you know, free speech thing that's going on, which, you know, I understand. I'm not against free
speech. Would any other league allow an athlete to say this without being suspended?
No.
Are they all anti free speech?
No.
You represent where you work.
Correct.
And your conduct when you say things like that is reprehensible. Mm-hmm. And there should be punishments.
Yeah.
Free speech is freedom from the government.
Correct.
The government can't come in and put you in jail because you have unpopular speech. Your employer can say, we don't like that you're sympathizing with
Hitler.
Right. You're right.
Come on.
You represent us.
Yes, you represent the UFC. And that's how you're going to represent it. Fighting in your next fight with no discipline.
Mm-hmm. And choking out Fortnite players.
Well, potentially that too. It's Heather with the news. Cookie Jar is next on a much lighter note. It's 97.1.